This week's episode has been brought to you by the paid subscribership of Tim, Jason, and Larry. Thanks and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 84. I am back again with good friend of the show, Johnny Walker. He is, we were just talking about before we turned on the microphones that you are, yeah, I feel like you're going to med school. That's what I feel like. You're pulling over all-nighters? All-nighters.
Yeah, that's all-nighters.
All-nighters, and that's because you're in the middle of assignments, and then you're also doing student teaching at the same time.
That's right. It's not med school. It's a lot less respect than a doctor.
Unfairly, right?
When you say you're being a teacher, people ask, like, why?
Why did you give up?
Yeah, what happened to you to make you choose that career path?
It is almost like a therapist. Like, I think there's a common thread that if you're a therapist, you come from some kind of damaged background. That's makes you want to be a therapist.
Teacher, it comes from failure.
I wanted to be a teacher. I don't necessarily think it was because of failure. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I mean, in my circumstance, it sort of is because of failure. I think if I were a better comedian, if I had been able to make more money.
Unfair.
Also, it's all the skills that I have. It really points toward being a teacher. And even when my wife, she's so nice. She's like, you know, I think you're going to be such an amazing teacher.
And I think you will.
You're going to be such a loser.
No.
A good loser.
Like you're
but no, I don't feel that way anymore.
Like you would be summa cum laude in the loser category.
Oh, yeah. Best loser.
The best.
Yeah.
The best of the best.
It's been amazing, though. I have 10 more weeks of this program. And I've spent the last 10 weeks in middle school. And I've loved it.
Oh, really?
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Really? I would think that would be scary.
You'd think so, yeah. It like dredge up these weird memories that you want to forget about from middle school.
Yeah. And I would feel like the kids in middle school would have hormone like attitude.
Oh, they do.
But you don't. That it just rolls off you.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me just because I know to expect it. Like I know they're crazy. You know, it's sort of fun. They're like little children, also adults at the same time. They're these weird sort of morphing.
Have you done
people.
Anything in high school yet, other than like substitute teaching?
No, I start high school in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, for 12th graders who aren't going to care at all
about anything.
No, they're going to be out of there. And I'm going to try to teach them about economics.
Yes.
So basically, I'm just going to try to teach them not to get a credit card.
Yeah.
That's my only goal, I think, is to teach these kids, you know, don't get a credit card. If you do, this is how it's going to mess you up.
That, you know what that makes me think of is that either A, I was already checked out, but I took economics my senior year in high school, and it was more about history than economics. I would feel like I would, like, that's what I was sitting here thinking while you were discussing that. It was reminding me that I wish that there was some kind of financial management aspect to the public school system, and that one would assume that in economics you would learn about statistical averages of what trends are existing in the world today. But I felt like we were talking more about the government and things like that.
Yeah, probably. That's what I learned. It was such bull. It was just like, a lot of curves and charts and, you know, acronyms that I have no idea what they mean. But I want to teach these kids about personal finance.
Right.
I mean, that's an actual useful thing.
I like the student teacher go rogue. We turn this into a movie.
Oh, definitely. I'm like,
get it.
Right.
Antonio Banderas and Samuel Jackson, all those guys that did the stand. It was Edward James Olmos.
Oh, yeah.
We make a super band of super teacher movie actors. And then you guys take over the school.
You
got to
remember
real skills.
Michelle Pfeiffer, too.
Oh,
add that into the mix.
What one was she in?
Dangerous Minds.
Dangerous Minds.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I get these movies on the week. No, I accidentally saw Dangerous Minds. I was going to just flip through it, but I was like, I feel the same way Michelle Pfeiffer does. I'm trying to connect with these really tough Latino kids.
Was
in
there
LA.
Any element of those kids hitting on her in that? I feel like that's really the struggle
she
would
have.
Oh, I
get that. Have. Yeah, no.
You get hit on?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I walked into the class and they're like.
I mean, I believe it. I'm not shocked. I didn't mean. Right. That came out wrong.
Not in the way Michelle Pfeiffer does.
Listen,
probably.
But anybody who's ever heard you on the show knows that I uncomfortably compliment you on your good looks.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
So my shock
is that you are dreamy. Let's be honest. That part makes sense. I'm shocked that an adolescent young lady would have the courage to just lay it out there.
Yeah, they're not even sure what's going on, but they
feel the
drive.
Yeah,
they're feeling some weird stuff.
Yeah.
And it's very obvious. And I walked into the room. It was like my first week. And they're like, ooh, it's Mr. Sexy.
They said that?
So, yeah, Mr. Sexy.
Like, that was a chant that, like, they...
Yeah, yeah.
And this is, I'm, oh, this is
These
so interesting
These are seventh graders.
Me.
That's how disturbing that was.
So this is their first impression, or this is you've been there for
They'd
day two or three?
Me like 2 days. So I come in okay. this, like, oh, so
oh,
that's
Mr.
their nickname.
Sexy's
Mr.
back.
Sexy. I'm like, please call me John Sexy. Mr. Sexy. Yeah, that's my father's name.
I'm not my father.
Right.
You'll call me Johnny Sexy.
Yeah, Johnny
you can even
Sexy.
Go informal version of John.
Right.
And we'll take that.
Senor Sexy. any of those. Mistress just sounds so informal.
Man, that is something I will never know. I will never know what it's like to have anybody uncontrollably attracted to me. I don't know.
It's great to have 12 and 13-year-olds.
I know that's not a win. I'm sure it's more uncomfortable, but I don't know if that's what is supposed to come out of your story, but that's what my messed up mind thought of.
I have no idea what the point or the what I'm supposed to like take out of this.
I just know that everything I do whenever I talk to someone and is weird where I try and put myself in their shoes. Like mm-hmm. I just kind of go, oh, what would that be like?
Right, right.
And so you're telling me this and I have no frame of reference. There's nothing. I could not imagine walking into anything ever and go, oh, Mr. Sexy.
Yeah, what would you do? What?
Yeah. I would get, oh, it's Mr. Prematurely Gray. Mr. High Cholesterol could probably drop a few 10 pounds, 40 pounds, give or take, whatevs. Mr. wears boxer briefs not because it's an attractive choice, but because it keeps his thighs from chafing when they rub against each other when he's walking through the grocery store. Yeah, that's right, ladies. Yeah, deal with those hormones.
Deal with what I'm bringing to the table.
You probably can't control yourself right now because there's a lot. There's a lot right here for you.
I'm sorry I interrupted you with the tangent, but because we were kind of talking about why it's surprising that for you to be having fun in the junior high. That's a horrible segue that I'm taking out that you're Mr. Sexy. And then I'm like, explain to me why it's enjoyable.
Right. Right.
But what about, because I think anybody listening to this, especially if they have teenagers, like I have young children, so do you.
Yeah.
I feel like we both are looking at this like there's a storm coming and I don't know how I'm going to handle it yet, but I'm hoping that I will have some idea when I get there.
Right.
Fair to say?
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, you know what? Having kids right now has been so useful because, at least for me, it's like every day is a new day.
Mm.
I know that sounds very...
No, I like it.
Like, of course it is.
Yeah.
But with kids, you know, you'll go to bed being like, be quiet! You know, geez, for Christ's sake! And you're just like, your head, you're just like, God, what the... I know I love them, but Jesus.
Especially if you're pulling all-nighters.
Yeah, pulling all-nighters and the baby decides. She used to go right to sleep.
Yes.
She'd look at her bed, say, night-night, and then she just put her head down. I had to put a gate up on that door and lock the other one. It seems like a total fire hazard. Like she's just trapped there, but she's beating the gate down.
Oh, dude, listen, you have no idea how much you and I – how old is your daughter now?
One and a half.
So my two-year-old, who will be three in June – literally 2 days ago was doing that exact same thing. We went through a phase where we got rid of the passy, right? I don't know. Was that your same thing or no?
No, with this one, we got rid of it after 3 months.
Smart move.
The first one was 2 years.
I just learned on this very podcast that after 6 months, they no longer have the desire to suck.
For the second,
to satiate. So that he says at 6 months, get rid of it. That's what he said. And rightly so, because... we got rid of it. It was fine the first night. It was fine. But then two or three nights later, started to have a little bit of issues. We had one humongous meltdown that finally went over. And then it turned into, and it's not all her fault. It's my fault for not really realizing it and saying, I had a spidey sense, but didn't follow through. Mom was going in there and there would be songs that would be sung. It was like we read a book and then it was go to bed. That's what it used to be. Now it's we're going to read a book. We're going to sing a song. Now we're going to sing a second song. Then there's going to be a glass of a sip of milk.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to walk out of the room. You're going to pick me up and put me back in the bed. And then I'm going to go
to
sleep.
It's like high mass at a Catholic church. Yeah. It goes on for like two hours. Yeah. There's an incense element to the nighttime ritual. Oh my God. It's horrible.
And so I said, she loses it because she's tired, right? And I go, okay, enough's enough. You got to book and sleep.
Yep.
And so then it was, listen, knock it off. Okay, now tomorrow, no treats. And literally, I said, okay, nobody is coming back in this room. So you can scream all you want. Nobody's coming back in here. So that's what it is. And I leave. Starts screaming. He's banging on the walls. I don't know, but I felt like he had grabbed a lamp and was just banging on his door. Now, here's the thing. Normally,
you have this sense. Like, right. I know that a lamp has
because I just don't imagine his fists making that pounding. Like, it seemed like he had fashioned a tool. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't lock him in there. This is the part. This is what only you could say in front of parents. If we had this very conversation and there was a 22-year-old girl or 26-year-old girl who had no children, we'd be looking at us going, you monsters. How dare you? That's a poor little child.
Yeah.
But she hasn't known. She hasn't been burned by the 2-year-old yet.
Sorry, I'm thinking of a 22 or a 26-year-old girl. I'm getting really distracted. All right, anyway, sorry.
Let's make it a dude.
Okay, that's better.
It's hard because you have to make it a chick because I feel like dudes are going to be like, they're not even a 26-year-old.
I don't care, what's a baby?
The 26-year-old guy is already thinking what distracted you when he's just sitting in this room. Like, look at these pansies. Oh, my God, I could be banging a 24-year-old right now.
One of my contemporaries. All right, sorry. So, don't mean to get us up. But so he's holding some kind of, he's just banging. Tool.
And it's almost laughable. I mean, I hope that every parent listening hasn't been through this, but I feel like we all have. And he's just like, goosh. And it's sad because my first son, even though I kind of ruined him when he was a baby, he's always been just, oh, okay, time to go to sleep. And then he crashes out. Maybe if he gets sick or has a nightmare or something like that. Then he'll wake up, but then he goes right back down. He's even sleeping through all of this.
It's amazing.
I asked him my wife asked him this morning. She goes, "Did you hear Jack last night?" He goes, "No." At one point, he goes, "I heard Dad," because I was yelling at him, going, "Doing your kind of thing." Like, here's what I love too. You are probably doing some kind of exaggeration of what you're thinking for the sake of this podcast. I was really going, you need to go the fuck to sleep and knock it off right now. Like, this is it.
No,
it's done.
It's a level of anger. No, I was grabbing my hair. The podcast viewers couldn't see that. But, the level of my voice, I get upset. Yeah. And I'm telling it to this adorable little 1.5-year-old girl.
Right.
And it's ridiculous.
And do you have the same thing I have? So then you're in that moment and here's the thing. I feel like in that moment, this is the only way to get through to this child, right? And then after the kid goes to sleep, I always have the guilt of like, did I have to take it to that? Did I have to?
Horrible guilt.
Oh, isn't that? And that's
and you
fucked
just picture
up.
Their adorable little face. You flip through your phone at all those smiling pictures.
Yeah. Oh,
and you know,
I haven't gotten that far.
I need pictures
I would
of them
get in
like...
there and crawl in bed with my sons if I did. If I went that far, there would be, give me my baby. That's where I would totally chick out. I would totally.
Yeah, I feel so bad for them. Yeah, my daughter now, she just says no to everything. Oh, no.
It just
so
looks at you.
So much power. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Exactly.
I'm like, absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. I'm going to do nothing about it.
It's so true.
I'm like, can you please, you figured out, you have a vocabulary of like maybe 30 words. That maybe you pronounce 5 of them
correctly
that anyone else could understand.
And yet you have me by the ball so bad.
No, it's it. That's you learned it.
I actually spanked my son. That's how. And here's the thing. My wife was like, well, you were upset. I go, no, here's the thing. My father, when I told him that we did timeouts and everything, and when my first son was born, I said, you know, Dad, I said, honestly, the timeouts I think are going well, and I think I just couldn't imagine hitting him.
Right.
And my dad said, give it time. You're new at this. Right. You know what I mean? Like, he is at the time, I think, 2.5 or something like that. And he's also my angel first child.
Right.
Then comes my demon second child. And it wasn't out of me losing my shit like I thought it was going to be. What it was just like I was sitting there going, well, clearly this isn't working. I'm not getting through to you. I was spanked. I don't have weird fetishes or traumas or anything. You know what I mean? I was worse than spanked. I was not only spanked, I was knuckled in the head, thumped in the head. You know what I mean? So maybe a low IQ is a consequence. I don't know. Listen, I'm not one to argue. But I grabbed him by his arm and I swatted him on the butt. And the funny thing for me was, is that he looked at me like, what? Like, he just had a, what
the
hell?
Startled him out, yeah.
Yeah, like, not like, oh, not like, you know what I mean? Not like I burned him, but just like, this is weird, you know? And then he goes, you hurt me. Like, he looked at me like, and it was the only moment in my, now here's the thing. Just so everybody can stop typing their emails and their tweets right now. It's not like I felt like I had won and I'm not getting up on a soapbox saying, hey, everybody, start beating the hell out of your kids. I don't have a dog in that fight, okay? I feel like as long as there is no blood and it's working, then you do whatever you got to do, all right? That's my honest opinion of it. I am nowhere near an expert and can't get up on a soapbox. I know that there are statistics that say that you're better off not hitting them, and that I even heard a doc, I think it was Dr. Drew actually said that he had read a study that when you actually escalate it to that point, when you spank the kids, then they actually become more violent and act out even more, he said.
I can see that.
That's a trend. All I know is that this moment when I barely patted him on the butt through the diaper, that he looked at that I had won. You know what I mean? That it was not me looking at him going, what are you going to do? Nothing. I don't know what to do now. Like, he was thrown off his game and he goes, you hurt me. And I said, I go, yeah, because you're not listening and you need to go to sleep. All right. And so I put him in there and he still cried, but it was like a lower volume because I think he was still trying to go, what the fuck?
The only
thing I can relate to is there was a time my grandfather never really had to discipline us. My grandmother would hit us with a belt, right? Wow. Whenever we were bad. But most of the time what she would do is just slap it on the counter or pop it like a rodeo clown. I don't know. Or you know what I mean? Like, it's a weird thing to see your grandma whose hair is in a bun and she bakes cookies and all of a sudden have a leather piece to hit you with.
Yeah, that's sort of hot.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Don't think my wife doesn't act out that. But
cookies and a whip. Snickerdoodles. Sign me up. Yeah.
Snickerdoodles. And the hardest part was getting my grandfather's old belt. That was the hardest part to make. That's the only way I could climax. But so my grandfather one time, I think I told my grandmother to shut up and he was there. Ooh. And he just got up out of his seat and spanked me.
Yeah.
And I didn't cry. I was just like, I didn't know what to do. And I remember thinking like, I really screwed up. That's clear that I was way out of line. And it jarred me into perspective. I don't think that's necessarily the moment of clairvoyance that my son had it to, because I was like 8 at the time. But I just know that I don't think I damaged him, and that's what I'm going to be able to sleep at night with.
Yeah, the reason I don't is I told myself I wouldn't hit them.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like I had my last cigarette, what was it like, almost 12 years ago now. It's sort of the same thing with that. I'm like, ooh, this is a nice little test right now.
Yes.
So it's more of, I don't know what the, I didn't read any studies. That was just the choice I made. But in teaching, I've also found if you do smack a kid, it does do that same thing. They
throws them off their kilter.
Yeah, throws them off kilter.
Except for the 13-year-old girls, I bet. That's where it gets really awkward.
Right. No, I don't hit students. Just to clarify,
yes. So this is a dangerous ground for I think for you. Sometimes
I feel
bad.
To joke about it.
Yeah, it's like then I just feel that you put all this work and effort into it, and then all of a sudden somebody's like, "Hey, listen,
right,
about this bullshit you're laughing about." So let me know if you need me to edit that out. That's what I guess I'm saying.
No, not at all. No, I mean, but it is hard for teachers because you have less discipline available to you, at least in the Los Angeles school district now. They've taken away the power to give detentions. So that's like giving the timeout power away.
Yeah.
So it really becomes, you just have to manage your classroom.
So I'm going to send a note home to what is probably your indifferent parent, which is causing this?
Sometimes that works and the parent gets involved and the kid straightens up a little bit. But other times the parent just
is not involved. Like, right?
That's not involved. Or we'll blame the teacher. I saw that happen this year.
That was my favorite thing when I used to help out at the elementary school. I was going to be an elementary school teacher. My favorite thing about it was that you would see these parents of kids that were a little whacked out on Scooby Snacks because they didn't have somebody kind of putting a thumb to them, in my opinion. And the parent always came in and was like, he's fine. Or it would have like this argument with the teacher. And then I would have friends who would talk about their teachers and go, well, the teacher doesn't like my kid. And I'm like, That teacher doesn't have the time to care about, like, personal feelings about
your
kid.
They're trying to do their job, and your kid is screwing that up.
Right, like, for everyone else.
For all the other students
for
in the class.
Everyone else.
It's like getting to know the kids' names. And, like, there were 160 seventh graders that I was teaching. And so, you know, five periods of 30-plus kids. And it's just hard to get to know everyone's name. You realize in the beginning you're getting to know the really outspoken kids and the bad kids.
Yeah.
And this silent majority of them.
The middle crowd.
Yeah, the middle crowd.
That's what I think my
screwed.
Oldest son is. He's the middle of the road. That he just, oh, yeah, he's fine.
I would suggest that he speak up a little bit or maybe do, you know, start some shit during school. Just
punch the biggest kid on the playground.
Get on the radar prison. Of the teachers. Yeah. Just so they care. They know his name.
That's a good point. I think if you have a middle of the road kid, I think you would want to lean him towards the trouble because then it invokes that Michelle Pfeiffer moment for these teachers. And they're like, I'm going to turn this kid around.
Yeah. Michelle Pfeiffer remembers the kid who died in her class.
Right.
You know, but does she remember that other kid who did all his work?
No.
Probably not.
Not at all. Nobody wants to make a movie about that class.
Nope. Kids, you follow directions. You have parents. You hold them accountable.
Remember that little known B movie that's in your video,
right?
And that was in the video store shelves about the class of mostly Asian and Indian kids that were all spelling bee champions and decathletes, academic decathletes.
Right. Oh man,
nobody wants to see that.
Instead of Dangerous Mind, it's like Decent Mind.
It's above average. Yeah. B plus minds.
Right. But oh man, yeah, I tried to get this one girl who was talking in the middle of class to move the other day. She wouldn't move. She just said, no, I'm not moving. And it was just like talking to my but at that moment I'm like, okay, I'm thinking for at first, like, I think if you don't have kids you think I have to punish this person,
right?
Or I need to, like, you want to set
you
an example.
Take it on them like they're an adult.
Yeah,
like you want to go at them like eye to eye.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
But it turns in like all about your own ego of like, oh, you know, they're challenging my power. It's like, who cares about your power? I'm here to like teach kids, you know. I'm not here to like show them who has the bit.
Enforce your will.
Exactly. But I think a lot of teachers end up doing that. And
I think people.
In general.
I've had those moments even with my kids. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But you have to kind of go, there's moments where I still think that that's what he's doing. But no, anyway.
Oh, they're totally doing
it.
But I think you as the adult, as the, you know, person who actually has a logical brain and can control their emotions, you know, you hope.
Theoretically.
Theoretically.
When you're well-rested and had a chance to eat a hot meal.
Right. You're eating a,
But I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And I don't want it to sound like an undermining, like, joke or whatever, because I think that you and I are both on the same page that's what we all should be doing. And that I found that in those moments, like, it happened again a little bit last night where he was fighting about the sleep, but I go, okay, I knew it was coming. So because I was mentally prepared, I stayed more calm, and thusly, it was a shorter experience, in my opinion, because I was actually thinking rationally instead of letting my emotions overwhelm me and then getting enraged and screaming.
Yeah,
and stuff
you don't
like
want to match the emotions of an infant.
Right.
I mean, it's fun to do sometimes, but like then you start to feel like the
it feels
crazy,
a good release.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Sometimes I love just crying myself to sleep or just like hitting the walls until I fall asleep. My wife's like, okay.
You know what? Sometimes I just shit myself.
Oh, yeah.
I just to be like.
And just wait for someone to do something about it.
That's the hard part. That is the hangover.
Right, somebody. Change me.
That's when I go, I feel ashamed.
That's awesome.
So what did you do, like with this kid who just says, no, I'm not going to move? What?
I told the rest of the class to work on something.
Uh-huh.
And then I did what I do with my kid. I like get down to eye level with her and like talk to her in a very low voice and just really explain myself. Like, you know what? I'm trying to teach all these people here. And when you don't listen to me, it makes things really difficult and blah, 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 you know, just like that. And so gradually it's just sort of eased the tension. So it wasn't about us going head to head. It was about trying to connect with this person.
Is it fair to say that you handled it from a point of respect? Like you said, I will treat you accordingly, and all I'm asking is that you treat me accordingly, right? Like, man, that's...
Except if you yell at them to say, you need to respect me.
Yeah, that's...
It's just like,
very rarely works.
No, I'm not going to do that.
That's so interesting. Until having this conversation with you, I would never have looked back at how I was as a kid. I think it's really hard for us to do that, even as parents.
Really hard,
I mean, I'm sure as a teacher, like, it's... But it would be such a nice resource is that if you could just take a moment to reflect and go, what was on my mind when I was this age?
Right.
What did I have going on? Because I think too often it's easy for us to fall into the mindset of what is it that I need you to do? Mm-hmm. Like if I just have to get you to do what I need you to do, mission accomplished. But if you kind of go, okay, well, how can I convince you, maybe, I don't know, to do what I need you to do?
Yeah, a lot of convincing is. I mean, there's not always buy-in with when kids go into a classroom and the teacher tells them to do something. It's like, well, I don't see the point in that.
Yeah.
You know, or if you're challenging a kid in front of all their classmates, I mean, that's a really, it can be a humiliating moment for that kid.
Yeah.
So you don't want to put them in a position that creates that kind of
thing. I remember being the class clown in certain, I wasn't always that person, but in certain situations with certain teachers I was. And I remember there was a time where like a substitute would try to, the substitutes were like chum in the water for me,
yeah,
man.
It's great.
It was, I remember like, I don't know, maybe you were the same way, but like if that came in, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a fun day.
Right, right.
And I would just go toe to toe with that person and watch them crumble. And it's jacked up. It's totally jacked up because I don't know who they were. There was one Mr. Mercer who was famous in our town because he rode his bike. He was an old retired guy, and he rode his bike everywhere. And everybody, here's what I love about it. Everybody made fun of him because he put a rubber band around his pant leg.
Awesome.
Well, I'm like, why do you put a rubber band around your pant leg when you ride your bike? And now everybody does it. Everybody rolls up their pant leg, and it's so you don't get the grease from the chain on your nice slacks or whatever. And I never even knew that was an option.
Right.
You know, maybe it's because my pants were always pegged because that was the style in then. But
I love pegging the pants. Oh, my God. I was just thinking about pegging pants the other day. I tried to do it with my jeans. It's impossible.
Possible. Not now. You got to.
Did you spend a lot of time pegging your pants?
Oh, you have no idea, Johnny.
Yeah, like
no
before a
idea.
Dance, I would spend so much time trying to get as tight as possible.
Yep.
So they get that little MC Hammer flare thing going on.
Let me explain to you.
So pathetic. Oh, my God.
Everybody else had Levi jeans. They had the stonewash jeans, and they would I think there was even almost like a tapering to the leg when pegging was a thing.
Right.
But you see, I had a father who did not believe in style, who did not believe in fitting in. So all of my jeans were purchased at Orchard Supply and Hardware.
Awesome.
And so they were all boot cut.
They have a jean section.
They do. They do. They do. And they still do. It's a lot of Wrangler. I think there's a Oshkosh Bagosh, which I used to think was their band because they called themselves Osh, but obviously it's not. And then now there's the Dickies with the gorilla on it. Carhartt is, you could get Carhartt jeans there. You could get a whole wardrobe, and you too could look like Jay Leno every day of your life if you go to Orchard Supply and Hardware. But that's where my father would buy my jeans, and they were boot cut Wranglers. And so
great.
It's almost like a bell bottom.
Yeah.
Right. And so you try to peg that where it could do two or three laps around your little, you know, fifth grade ankle. And so, and then me trying to roll them up, it was sad.
Yeah.
And then I tried to get the safety pins, you know what I mean? Because some kids would safety pin them too.
Oh, I never saw that.
Oh, and I was never smart enough to figure out, like, moms, imagine these moms that would find a way to safety pin from like the inside so you couldn't see the safety pin. And then me trying to create that without not a parents, obviously, who love me, but then love me in a way that wanted to.
Yeah, that would be weird to influence their fashion like that. Like the mom, like helping their 13-year-old boy get ready for school by pegging their jeans for
him. Right. That's a form of it. That was, my parents would
like
consider
abuse.
That enabling. That's what they called
exactly.
it. Like, and so I had gigantic full size paper or safety pins that were out on the outside of my boot cut. Nothing cool. Nothing cool, but I tried so hard. But anyway, Mr. Mercer, I had the school record by getting sent to the principal's office. I think it was 6 times in one day, or might have been 7, because I know it was just over 1 per hour. And we had the vice principal that was there, not the principal. And so all I would do is whip up some tears when I go in there and just say, I don't understand. I'm trying to help Mr. Mercer. And I was known within the school, like I was on safety patrol. It wasn't like I was the problem kid who was tagging up the girls' bathroom. I was the outstanding safety patrol officer of the year, and I would hang out in my off-track time. Everybody knew me in the office.
You're one of those students who needed a challenge.
Yes.
You know? And when the teacher
I'm
is
so
the
glad
challenge,
you said this. This
no,
is interesting.
I see this. This is like the underachiever student or the smart kid who will do things like that. That happens all the time. If they're not challenged in their classroom, then they're going to challenge themselves in ways that you don't want them to challenge themselves.
I don't think we said this on air, but we were talking about how your wife was saying you are going to be an amazing teacher. You are going to. That is mind-blowing to me that you could look at me as a 35-year-old man, hear me tell one little anecdote, and you're like, this was the issue.
No, yeah, yeah. I'm sure it probably
your mind
was.
Is, because here's what happened. Here's the, and this is why I was running this story by you, because I wanted to see your take, is that now that you're, you know, you're a teacher, I was called, there was a parent-teacher conference, and my teacher called me in because I'd had a lot of behavioral issues.
Yeah.
And he said, he goes, Mr. Warsham, he goes, we're just having a lot of problems with Justin. He's acting up in class. He's not listening. And my dad goes, well, are you challenging him? He goes, he never gets in trouble unless he's bored. And then the teacher goes, he goes, well, while I can understand that, he said, Mr. Warsham, what I need you to understand is that I have 30 children and Justin is one of them. Most of the kids are not reading at Justin's level. They're actually two grade levels behind. Mathematically, they're a grade or more behind as well. He said, so I'm trying to get everybody caught up. He goes, and Justin's being a disruption to me trying to get everybody. He goes, I have to worry about the whole class. And my dad said, he goes, well, no, there's something you need to understand, that you have a job and that I bring my kids to this school so that you could do your job.
Yep.
Now, if he's misbehaving while you're doing your job, then I will do my job and I will step in and I will discipline him.
Right.
But he is only misbehaving because you are at this moment not able to do your job. And it is not my problem to figure out how to do your job. You have to figure out how to challenge my son because that's what you do. And it was very awkward because I was there. I was in the room.
And you were sticking your tongue out at the teacher at the time.
I was actually putting a whoopee cushion under his chair.
Right.
And writing his name as Mr. Fuckeroni on the chalkboard.
Oh, I forgot we could swear. Sorry. But
you don't have to apologize.
Yeah, no, I apologize to the audience. I would have been swearing a lot more.
Crave
until
it.
Now.
They don't crave it.
They don't know.
No,
okay.
You're fine.
Mr. Fuckeroni was great. I feel like we were building up to that.
Okay. To that we had a.
Yeah,
that,
it's
now it's a release.
If we were dropping F bombs,
yeah, Mr. Fuckeroni wouldn't have landed as well.
Hilarious. Okay.
So, but what came out of it was that he just decided he went and found workbooks that were at like seventh grade level,
right,
and just would give them to me to do on my own while he taught the rest of the class, and then. Lo and behold, there was no problem. And so I was,
awesome.
That's why I was going to run by you, see what you, how you would approach. But it seems, sounds like to me from you, before I could even ask you the question, that you would have identified that problem and probably addressed it before having to even talk to my
father. No, yeah, it's called differentiating instruction. So you find out, you know, what the needs of your students are, and then you present your lessons based on those needs. And it's a lot more work in a class where you have lots of students of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you do need to find a way to do that.
So let's say I'm the parent then. Let's bring it home for more of the listeners. Let's say I'm a parent then of a child who is normally overachieving and then all of a sudden becomes a disruption. Then that's what makes it – that's what made the flag go off in your head?
Well, not always. Also, just in being in seventh grade, I've noticed a lot of kids, they'll be great in elementary school and suddenly there'll be a drop-off when they hit seventh grade or whenever their middle school experience starts. Sometimes when you go – it's like sixth through eighth grade, or seventh through eighth.
Yeah.
But it's usually around that time where a kid, they won't talk to their parents as much. Their school work will really drop off. And that's sort of part of that age we were talking about. Like they just.
So that's more rebellion and teenage hormones.
Yeah, it's hormones. It's like developmental. Like literally their brains are, they're acting in ways they can't control. They're very impulsive. Like they don't have logical reasoning yet. Like that. That'll come around a little bit later, and they just cannot control themselves.
But then, don't you feel like they had it before then? Isn't that weird? Like, I feel like I was very – I remember, and I've been beating this to death lately on the show, but that I remember having a conversation with my dad and him saying that I go, I love hanging out with you. And he's like, it's not always going to be the case. And then I felt this fog come over me, and I just – wasn't thinking straight. And there was a moment where I realized, I'm like, holy shit, this is what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And then it's a weird thing where you literally feel it dissipate. I felt it at like 21. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I'm using my head and doing smart things now.
Right.
It's weird. So is it a thing where they literally do not have logic beforehand, or does it just become clouded?
No. You know, if I were a neurologist or something, I would definitely know better. And
it sounded like an unfair question when I said it.
No, I don't know what the root of it is, if the logic exists before that. It's usually – no, because if you look at a child, they have logic, but it extends into, like, imaginary places, too. Like, I don't know. My daughter's getting so much better at lying. It used to be, like, I just was talking to my friend. I'm like, who's your friend? It's a zebra. Like, no, that's probably not right. But now she's lying, but they're getting, like, oh, yeah, that's my iPad. My uncle got it for me for Christmas. Like, no, there's no way you have an iPad. You're 4 years old. But she ended up watching 4 hours of iPad.
It'd be even better. Your mother and I are both only children. Like,
right. Yeah, yeah. It's just like, but like her logic, it sounds more logical, but it's still in this sort of
zone. So it's not fully developed.
No, no.
It's in the early stages.
Yeah.
And then it goes, so that's
and then I think, yeah, also the fog
of hormones or whatever
comes
it
over
is.
This illogical person,
yeah,
and just makes them very difficult to deal with.
So now we've addressed that if they're going into, like, it's a transition of a school thing, mm-hmm. then there's that. But is there any other way then to identify? I'm just curious, what flags went off in your head when I told that little story that made you go, well, it's probably because you weren't being challenged. So
well,
because
I know you. I know you're an intelligent person to begin with. And if you're acting up, and I know you're not just rebellious against authority because you don't like authority.
No, or, yeah.
And I know you have had a decent... You had a good home life and supportive parents, so it wasn't because of that.
Okay. So it is because you knew more of me.
A teacher really needs to know their students, and that's one thing that is really tough to do, but is so important to do their job correctly.
Right. If you had the time. I noticed that it's when there was a phase in the elementary school I was going to work at where they were doing combo classes.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of parents were against it because they felt like it was bad, but what they were trying to – and it made the classroom sizes a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But what the teacher said, well, what's great about it is that it's really great for the kids who are in the lower levels because they're also, while it may not be directed at them, they're going to be around and nearby when they're learning stuff ahead, right?
Right?
And it also gives them even more time with that material. So even when they're in, like, say, third grade and a second, third combo, it gives them more time with
that.
That's
great.
And it gives the teacher more time with that student because they're going to be with them for 2 years and they can really help guide them as opposed to rotating through every year.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Yeah, they call it like heterogeneous work groups where you have lower level kids and upper level kids together. You can't be too much of a gulf between mm-hmm. the abilities or else then each one of
it's
them will
resent
each other too. But it's a great strategy.
There's a hullabaloo going on at my son's kindergarten because they have that what did you say, integrated or what's it, where the different levels? You just said the nice
phrase. I don't know, heterogeneous work
yes,
groups.
Heterogeneous yep. work groups where they call it in kindergarten, they call it early B and late B.
Huh. Yeah.
And so what they do is they have kids that are more advanced or are moving faster, can
right.
process things faster, will go in the early group, and then kids that are having a harder time or moving slower will go in the later group, but they're together for 2 hours in the middle of their day.
That's good.
So they get 1 hour with the teacher where that she can work at their pace. 2 hours is a larger group, and then the other group gets 1 hour with the teacher working it with them at their pace.
Nice.
And a lot of the parents hate it because it's only a 3 hour kindergarten day, and they want a 5 hour kindergarten day.
Right, because they want them to babysit their kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And the teachers want to have a 3 hour workday in the system that they know will work.
Right.
Because now, you know, like you, the principal is explaining that contractually they have to be here until 3 o'clock, and so they have prep time that they can do. So now what they can do is that they can do their class and have their prep time and be out by 3 o'clock.
Right.
Whereas a teacher who teaches fifth grade is there till 2:30 when the class gets out, and then they have to stay here for another hour and a half or more to do their prep time after the actual contractual obligation.
Right.
And I remember even when, like I said, when I was helping out with that elementary school, there is a weird contention between like the grade level and the kindergarten teachers where they look at them like the similarity to – the students looking at kindergarten, it's like
right,
those are the
right.
babies. Those are baby teachers is what they are. It's,
oh, man. It
it's
would
cute
be
what
so
they're
much
doing.
More difficult. It was just so different, you know. It's hard to put a like who does more work.
Yeah.
I mean, because to be a great kindergarten teacher, you probably have to put a ton of planning into it. I was just realizing how much work goes into being a teacher, which I didn't realize. It's sort of like watching a comedian, your mm-hmm. whole like liking comedy, but not knowing the amount of work
yes,
that has
the
to
mechanics
go into making
and...
that 10-minute bit work.
Yeah,
know?
It's like everybody who ever sees you at a show comes up to you and goes, you know, some people think I'm funny. I would like to do what you do. I'm not good at like the passive conversation of like, oh, good for you. Well, go to an open mic or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There was a guy who said to me, he goes, hey, you know, a lot of people think I'm funny and I got this job that I'm doing. And I goes, I think I just want to quit my job and go do comedy. And I go, you want it for real? And he's like, yeah. I go, how much money do you make a year? And he said, $75,000. I said, nope.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I said,
do you know I've been doing it almost 10 years?
Yeah, I'm like,
and
do
I'm
it
not
for
even
10
close
years. Yeah.
to what you're making?
Yeah.
Because they think it's Hollywood. They think that there's, and granted, as far as, like, if you want to talk per hour.
You know, yeah, exactly. Like, when you get to work 1 hour per week.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, then... But what they don't compile into that hour is every hour that you spend writing, every hour you spend emailing clubs to try and get in there, the hours of travel, you know what I mean? Like, it dwindles down pretty quick when like, actual, if you had to punch in the minute you get up and pack your bags and head to the airport,
right,
you know?
Right.
And if you were if you want to go really nuts and be punched in the entire time you're gone, come on, then slave wages is what you're
definitely. Yeah, it's not even a wage.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a joke sweatshop.
It is a sweatshop.
Which literally, there are comedy clubs that the bed you sleep in is under the stage. Like, if there's a basement under the stage.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the club. I'm trying to pull it, but there's one where the condo is like you go just behind the stage, and then there's a stairwell,
and
you sleep underneath there and hang out there all day. And then you come out and go do the show. So you actually never leave the club.
The bed could just like rise from the bottom of the stage. That is horrible.
Like the monster in Star Wars that they just open the game. Like,
it's like, all right.
Oh, showtime. Oh, God.
Okay. Better stop masturbating.
Unless that's part of your bit. Maybe that's your thing.
It could be a great way to start.
Gallagher's back, everybody.
Right.
But I'm dirtier.
Holes in these watermelons. Oh man.
Well, let's do some stuff too. I don't think I cut you off from anything. I'm curious because even though I knew you were going to school to be a teacher, but after this conversation, I think that there's a lot of insight that, you know, you would be able to offer parents that listen to the show.
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, I've only been studying for like 9 months. It's been pretty around the clock, and I haven't been doing elementary school, but I have been learning some stuff about it. That's absolutely fascinating too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the difference between boys and girls and how they're judged in school is fascinating. Where it's sort of boys don't have a leg up when it comes to their behavior, their natural behavior, and how they're expected to behave in school, which is why girls usually do a little better, especially in the beginning.
I'm shocked that we don't catch more flack that it takes us longer to not shit ourselves. Like, I feel like I feel like that would end every marital argument ever. That, you know, like, just that doesn't hang with you. You know what I mean? That, and it could go either way. Like, say you're a dude who was potty trained at 18 months.
Yeah.
And your wife took until she was 3. You know what I mean? Then I feel like that should be a point of contention. Like, that should be like a trump card that could always be played.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad my wife didn't know me when I was like 5.
Right?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I don't remember myself. I don't think I remember those years because they would be horrible.
But
memories.
As little as our spouses respect us now, you know what I mean? Like, imagine if they could see you in the corner mining for booger gold or just, and even worse, in the corner just.
Right, looking around, yeah. I remember taking scissors and cutting my hair and, eating paste. It's just like, you know.
Can you imagine that translating it to your wife today? Like, no, Johnny, we cannot. You took scissors to your own hair. Do you think that qualifies you to make decisions for this family?
Yeah. I would agree with you completely. No, and that's why I don't make decisions for my family. That's absolutely why I don't.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that was phenomenal. Well, I guess there's not then for elementary school kids. What about like anything? Because here's the thing. I think the biggest common problem that parents deal with the teachers in the schools is that thing where I don't think the teacher likes my kid. Or if there's there's a situation with me and my preschool teacher, my kid's preschool teacher, but it's not something that's worth me going toe to toe because it's just preschool in my opinion. But like, for instance, the first thing was that she got she was writing their name on the board when they showed up late. And that was another subject that came up on the show with Nolan North, where his kid was in second grade and got detention for arriving at school late.
They do this at the middle school. I hate it. I think it's humiliating the kid for the parents'
fault. Yeah. And so it's like, and so he showed up for the detention. And she was like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I'm here for my detention. She goes, no, the detention's for him. He goes, yeah, but it's my job. He doesn't have a driver's license, so it's my job to get there. And then they became this huge, and it was a private school, so he had this fight with the teacher and then immediately pulled his kid out of that school.
Good.
But so there was a similar thing, and I went to the director and I said, you know, listen, I go, if she wants to pull me aside and say, not cool, you need to get him here on time, we have a thing, I go, oh, and here's the thing too, if it was a regular thing, but this was a one-time thing, I go, and then you compound that with the fact that my son is uber obsessed with being a good kid.
Yeah.
Like, he freaks out about not, you know, and he, and to not just put his name on the board, she also took time away from their playtime. Like, they had to sit in a timeout. Like, I'm like, this is...
That's really draconian. That's
this is not okay, you know? And then more recently...
Was this the teacher's policy or a school policy?
No, this is a teacher's policy. So now that policy is gone because the director got involved. And the new thing, though, was she gave on a Monday a presidential report project for preschool kids. These are 4 and 5 year old children, right? They had to pick a person that either was involved in Black history, like impacted Black history, or a president, and do a presentation on them. They could use videos, books, pictures. And
videos, books?
Yeah. And I was like, okay.
They don't know how to read, do
they? No. Some of the kids, I think, do. And here's the thing. I don't know if I'm responding. Like, what if I am that white trash parent that's in the super high-level class like everybody else's kid is reading?
No, that is literally insane.
That is insanity, right?
That is insane, yeah.
Because here's the thing. I know that early on there were some kids that could read, like, small words in his class. And so it bothered Jacob, my son, that he couldn't read. And so she's like, maybe you could do some things with him and he could do some homework. And so I said, sure. So he'd come home, he'd do some more work in his workbook. But it wasn't really like all of a sudden like, and I think it's just because developmentally he wasn't ready to process that. Is that fair to say?
It is. Yeah, it's all the research. I mean, of course it's fair to say.
So I'm like, I'm not trying to make excuses for my kid. I do believe that you can set an expectation and the kid will get there. But I'm just like, I just feel like this timeline is weird. And then also she tells us about this project on Monday and then has a Friday due date.
Yeah, that's.
And so it was literally the week that I had something going on every night of the week. And so I'm home with my younger son. I don't have time to do it then because I come home, I give them a bath, I start cooking dinner, I'm cleaning up the house, my wife comes home, then there's bath time. Like, we have family time that we value. How are we going to work in a project, right?
I can see maybe like second or third grade.
Right, maybe. Totally.
But like, we have to bring in fresh vegetables one day for our preschool. And that was tough enough to, to find the time to fucking find some broccoli, you know? So, like, let alone teach them about, you have to teach them presentation skills. I mean, that's something they should be teaching them in school.
It gets worse. So here's my thing is, I don't like it that parents, and I know, here's the thing. I'm sure that there's a mom or a dad that does it because it's just, I don't know your life and I'm not judging it. Just me personally, I don't like doing projects for my kids. Not that that's come up until this, but I've seen it in my siblings. You know, like, I remember my sister-in-law was always like, oh, we have to do this thing for so-and-so's school. And I remember looking at it going, how crazy. Why doesn't he just do it? You know, why do you even have to be aware of when it's due?
Yeah.
Like, my father, like, if I came to him and said, I need to make a solar system by tomorrow, he goes, sounds like you're fucked.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He goes, right. Go look in the garage, do what you got to do, but I'm going to be in here watching TV. That was what it was like for me. And so I made a choice. I'm like, I am not going to do this project. I'm not going to make it a parental pissing match.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm going to have him learn what needs to be learned. And so I said, okay, who do you want to do it on? I go, you could pick a president. And I go, do you have a favorite president? And before he goes, yes, Barack Obama. And I was like, great. What do you want to find out about
that
Barack
gets
Obama?
Both Black history and president.
Nailed it,
yeah,
right?
Boom.
So I said, what do you want to do? What do you want to tell people about Barack Obama? He's like, I don't know. I go, well, what do you think would be nice for him to, like, what would you like to learn about him? That's what I said. And he goes, when was he born? So I said, great. So we got on the computer. And I know it now, August 4th, 1961, nice. Born in Hawaii, because I had to beat it into him because he can't read.
Surprisingly, that's a politically fraught question. That's
I know, right? That's what I said. I was debating whether or not it would be funny to have him, like, have him show up August 4th, 1961, Kenya.
Right. You're like, I want to see a birth certificate of the president because I don't trust this Wikipedia.
Send him in a Confederate flag sleeveless shirt. Right. You know what I mean? Just go full tilt with it. I already told him the joke when he said, because my father is a very conservative Republican, and I think I am too to a certain extent. But he said, he goes, when he said his favorite president was Barack Obama, I jokingly said to myself, well, don't tell your grandfather. Right. He goes, why not? I said, he'll disown us. He will never talk to you again. And he laughs. And then, of course, the next time he hears I'm talking to my father, he goes, tell him my favorite president, Barack Obama. But anyway. So then I try to figure out what else that he wants to know. And I said, I go, he's the first Black president. I go, is that cool? He's like, okay, yeah. And then he came up with this great idea of, he goes, what did he do when he was 5? Was what he wanted to know. So I looked around just to see if there was anything going on in his life. The only thing I could find that his mom moved to Seattle, Washington. Huh. And so I said that when he was 5, he lived in Seattle, Washington. He's like, great. So I said, okay, let's have you write it down. I said, can you write these things down? And he was like, no, right. I can only
in kindergarten, right?
Yeah. He goes, I can only copy it. And I go,
huh,
good enough. Great. So I typed it out on the computer. I left the computer there. I said, you copy. Those are the words that you need to copy down. Well, the poor kid doesn't understand that he has to fit it all in the space. So he basically filled half the page with August 4th, 1961.
Right.
And so I had to erase it, you know, and go back. And so then I go, okay, I go, you what? And I put a line so he could at least do that. Yeah. And I'm having him do it. And then now it's getting closer to bedtime. And I'm getting pissed at this teacher. I'm like, what the fuck do you think I do all week? Like, and it's a really hard thing for me to deal with because I'm like, am I not concerned with my kids' academics? Because to be honest, at preschool, no, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not worried about kindergarten. I'm not worried about preschool. I'm not the guy that buys into philosophy that whatever he does at preschool is going to be what he does when he graduates high school or college even. Like, I'm like, there's going to be a time where he's going to hit his stride. And my guess is it's going to be about third or fourth grade. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm going to go, okay, listen, we need to maintain like above B's if you're going to be able, you know what I mean? Like, that's when I can lean on you for this stuff. But until then, no. Isn't the time.
I'm more concerned about the teacher and them respecting the children and giving them assessments that are in line with who they are.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah. That's a very valid point. That if I was that parent, then I would be like, well, then why is he going to school at this place? That's for somebody who really doesn't even understand how to do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't. And I'm like, all you did was give me homework. That's all you did.
Right.
And so I wrote it down there, and of course I show up and I forget the paper, like, because I can't remember something. Oh, I booked a voiceover job, and I had like 10 minutes to get into school, and I had to come back for a live phone patch. And I go, I forgot the report. I go, what time are you guys doing it? And she goes, oh, he could do it on Monday or whatever. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? I go, great, okay, great.
Yeah.
So I just decided I'm not bringing it back. He could do it on Monday. But I come back to pick him up at school, and there were huge, like, 4x6 cardboard signs that had Jackie Robinson with, like, glitter bubble letters and stuff.
God.
And I'm like, that is clearly not a 4-year-old. You know? And I'm not mad at the other parent. My favorite one, there's a kid who did it on Abraham Lincoln, and there's actually, like, an animated shot of John Wilkes Booth coming out behind and, like, firing the gun.
This is kindergarten?
This is preschool.
Oh my God.
And it doesn't have any blood, but it just has Abraham Lincoln like grabbing at his head, like that. And I'm just sitting there going, "Really?
Really? My God.
And you can't have peanuts here,
right? Yeah, you can have a head wound,
yeah, exactly,
and a gun, yeah.
So I mean, it was just crazy.
That's horrible. That's absolutely horrible. We did in seventh grade, the place where I was just teaching, they had to do a report on the Mayans, and they were able to work in class for 3 weeks, and then they went home on the weekend, were supposed to put it together and bring it back. Half of the kids didn't even turn anything in, even though they'd worked on it.
Yeah, because they'd been there in class.
Yeah, they couldn't put things together.
Over the weekend.
Only the kids whose parents were involved were able to put something together, and maybe a few kids who were, you know, somehow managed to have logic in their brains at this time.
Right.
But half of the kids failed the project, and it was all because of parental involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a horrendous way to judge kids, because some of these parents are, I know, they're working all night, or they're not there, or they're, you know.
Here's the thing.
It's about the parent. It's not about the child.
Right. Realistically, it could be that they're a single parent who's having to work like crazy. You know what I mean? Or, like you said, they could just be uninvolved.
Yeah.
I mean, my father was involved in my life, but uninvolved in my academics. His philosophy was, as long as I was getting good grades, I could do pretty much whatever I wanted. I had no real rules. But if a report card came back or a progress report came back and that I was getting a D or a C, then he was like, okay, now I have to manage your life. So he would step in then. And so his hope was that I would be more interested in not being micromanaged and thusly would commit myself to my schoolwork.
Totally.
And he was fucking right. Like, it totally worked. And I screwed up in high school, and then he started leaning on me, and then I was like, oh, fucking, you know, it happened.
It's up to the teachers to assess their students and not the students' parents.
Yeah.
And often they, unfortunately, it happens.
That is so interesting to me. That it is funny that that's ultimately what a lot of things come down to. Parental involvement.
And their final grade, at least for the seventh graders, their final grade in this whole year of social studies is going to come down. That project's going to mean a lot. And that was one thing that had me really upset.
And it could even be like, because that's what I'm thinking, the situation of my father could even be that, you know, maybe they're involved in the kids' lives, but they just didn't even know the project was happening.
Yeah.
Like, it could have slipped
their
mind. Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to tell when they ask how school was today, you don't want to tell them how it was.
Right.
You know?
It's interesting because I've talked to friends that have teenagers, and they all make that joke of like when they ever talk to us. And I don't know that I ever didn't or did talk to my dad, but that is an interesting dynamic. Like, is that good? Is it? I know that it's obviously a part of developmental independence, I would assume, mm-hmm. but
yeah. Yeah, it's a normal thing. I mean, I think it's good to have parents involved with their kids' lives.
Yeah,
of course, but not their grades being dependent on if they have a good relationship with their parent.
Yeah,
because that's almost impossible for a teenager,
or
not impossible, but it's likely that it's not going to be a great relationship.
That is crazy, crazy interesting to me, that whole dynamic. Like, I can't, in this moment, I'm trying to find a way to wrap my mind around it. Like, what should be the way to go? Because I agree. I agree that you can't be assessed by your parents. That's not the purpose of the school. But then does the onus come on the school to almost be the parent to the child? No, that shouldn't be it either.
No, but to give them to assess them on work that they do.
Yeah.
Not on the work that their parent does for them.
Yeah.
You know, so what they should have done with this report was they give them a list of different people who they'd like them to research about, let them pick them, have it almost – and have them construct it based on materials that they provide. So it's not up to the parents to provide anything.
Go out
anything.
And get papers.
They do it all in class, and they do a month project, mm-hmm. you know, building little posters that they get to pick and have some ownership of, but they also control all the content.
Because then – I like that. Because then all of the instruction and guidance is being provided by the teacher,
right.
who is the person who is the most qualified to do it. Because, you know, even my sister-in-law, I remember, would call me when my nephew was having a hard time with math. Like – again, she's an uber-involved parent, but uh-huh. she just doesn't have the skill set to do algebra.
Huh.
That's just it. So does that mean that he has to suffer? You know what I mean? Like, because
it shouldn't.
Yeah, logic should tell you that, well, it stands to reason that more often than not, parents out there may not know algebra. Or maybe you have a parent who isn't as academically, for whatever reason, established as you are.
Yeah, they should be learning algebra in their classroom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the – or at
least, it's homework. It's like – because Adam Carolla is very against homework, and hearing him rationalize, it's like, oh, it kind of makes sense. He's like, schoolwork, or he goes, work is for school is done at school. He goes, and home is for doing stuff around the home. Now, his point is to say that he doesn't, obviously there's things that need to be overflown and all that stuff, but he's talking, I think what he's really reacting to is that this new trend where it seems like there's an equal workload of what's being done at school is being done at home, or at least that's what he's seeing represented. Huh. That he's like, why is my 7-year-old doing 30 minutes of homework or more a day? Like, how does that make sense? That to me means that there isn't enough work being done at school, because what are they doing at school that then still needs another 30 minutes to be worked on at home? Like, he goes, I feel like home should be time where they can go outside and play and just be kids. Like, they've punched in, they punched out, and then that's it.
Yeah, they spend a lot of time at school every day.
Right.
I think the reason that we didn't give homework in the last class where I was because kids just wouldn't do it.
Wouldn't do it.
Wouldn't turn it in. And so you don't want to just fail kids because they're not, you know, you have to meet them at least
somewhere.
And there a lot of kids at high performing schools or like with very involved parents will end up doing the homework.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that it's a good reason to give the two of them.
Right.
You do want them to be able to perform.
It's interesting because you also want them to have that consequence. Like, you feel like that would teach them too, that it's like, oh, you didn't do your project. Now you failed.
Yeah,
and that's a consequence of what happens when you're not invested.
And you want to teach people to work on their own too.
Right.
You give them an assignment, be able to do it, and bring it back, you know, independently.
Wow.
But you don't want to give too much of it, or else.
A utopia we are far from.
Yeah, I feel like at least people are working toward it. You know.
Right.
But there's so many bad teachers out there. Like, I just can't believe this preschool teachers would assign some. That's
well, it's funny too. Like, I always think it's interesting what my wife has a hard time with and what I have a hard time with. I mean, she agreed with me about the project, and she also agreed about the name on the board, but she also takes offense to the fact that the kids come in and they bow to her to say hello.
Are you serious?
And Natalie,
too.
Yeah, Natalie was like, well, it's just interesting because I think it's also because of these other situations that it doesn't make this teacher look good, is that she goes, why do you bow to your teacher when you show up? And they said, well, Miss Nell says because that's so we don't give germs. Which I think is a solid point, that so the kids all, they don't, it's
instead
not just her.
Instead of shaking her hand.
Yeah. Instead of shaking her hand, that way she doesn't, but here's the thing. What I wish is that they all did that to each other. Like, so if it's not like we're all bowing to this great teacher.
Right.
We all bow to each other because we don't shake hands. And I'm like, well, maybe there's an influence of like an Asian culture. So I'm like, ah, come on. Well, sure. What? I don't care. Again, he's there for another 4 months. What the fuck do I care?
Right.
But that didn't really bother me. But there's all this other stuff that just, it's like, I don't. I had something and then it just slipped out of my brain.
Well, no, it seems like it's an authoritarian classroom, you know, where this teacher needs to be the one in
charge all the time. Yes. She started saying things like that kids were supposed to tell us that if we use a bad word that we're not supposed to use it, which I know that there are people that don't curse in front of their kids. I do. And I just tell them, none of my kids have cursed in class. There was a moment where I thought that my son Jack had said bitch to a little girl. He's like, she's a bitch. But I think he meant something else. I don't know.
Okay.
I could be, maybe he was saying bitch, but it just didn't, the context wasn't there.
Yeah.
That's what my argument was. But Jacob never has had a problem, and he made a comment. He said, Miss Nell says you can't say words like that. I said, well, luckily for me, Miss Nell's not in charge of me. I said, and I think what Miss Nell is trying to say to you is that you can't use words like that, but I'm an adult,
right,
and I pay the bills, and I can do whatever the fuck I want. And when you get to pay the bills, guess what? You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
But right now, you have to do whatever I want. And then he's fine, but then there was this other kid that came over, had a play date. And they were playing with squirt guns, and they're like, oh, let's go have a water fight outside. And so I go, great, I'm filling up squirt guns. And then the kid goes, oh, we can't play with guns. And I go, oh, no, I thought mom and dad.
Right,
and he goes,
right.
He goes, oh, that's not screwed. I don't care if I'm using her name. But anyway, he said, Miss Nell says we can't have guns. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, they're bad. I said, well, these are just squirt guns. And then my son, remember,
yeah,
kid who's obsessed with being a good boy, goes, but I want to play with squirt guns. Like, he's like, oh, no. Like, he's like, this is a real dilemma here.
Wow, interesting.
And I said, and in my mind, I'm like, when does she have more of a say-so in my house? Like,
right,
that's weird for me. And I just said, I go, you know, I think squirt guns are going to be okay.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, what are we going to tell Miss Nell? Like, the boy that was visiting. I said, I'll tell you what. You tell her that Mr. Worsham, Jacob's dad, said it was okay, and that if she has a problem, she can take it up with me.
Yeah.
I go, then you're off the hook. He's like, all right. And he did like a, it literally, and a 5-year-old kid did like a, your funeral. Like, he,
wow,
did like a kind of a head nod. And then they went and had a blast playing with squirt guns,
right,
shooting at each other and all that stuff. And I know that there are people who are anti-gun and don't want kids playing with them. And then there are always the people too, that it's like, even if a kid never sees a gun, like my favorite story is somebody told me that a kid chewed his toast into the shape of a gun and then held it up at breakfast. And this is a kid that had never, you know,
yeah,
no,
boy,
violent movie.
Yeah, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
That's just so much power over these kids' lives. That's,
isn't that weird?
The bowing thing.
I feel like you
strange.
Could do a paper about her. If you need, I'll dig deeper into her.
Yeah, no, it sounds like one of these things I've been reading in my program about teachers, you know, taking things way too far.
Yeah,
and it comes down. She's probably very, I don't know, very self-conscious, have very little confidence in herself if she needs much control over.
I don't know. I really don't know what it is. I know that there's also the interesting dynamic.
Does she have kids?
Yes.
She
has her daughter who's like, it looks like in her 20s, comes and helps out with the class, and the kids call her Big D. And so I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't have a problem with her personally.
Right.
I think it's just the natural progression of things. That it's just me interacting with these kids, and maybe the jerk off who can't control his kid at a park every now and then, who's throwing sand at my kid. That's nothing. And then it's just going to progressively get more and more challenging. My hope is, though, is that there was always an element that I liked about what my dad did as an adult. I didn't like it when I was a kid, but they used to give us these disclaimers where they would say, you know, we're going to yell at your kid, but we will never hit them. They will never be spanked.
Oh, from school?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That was a disclaimer that was sent home at the first day of school every year for my elementary school. And my dad, I would always give it to him in the packet. Then he would put
sign
a little
it,
note,
bring,
sign it,
yeah,
and say, send it back in. And so I would go in on the second day of class. I go, here you go. And they go, oh, honey, that's not a permission slip. You didn't have to bring it back. I go, no, there's a note. And my dad said, feel free to beat him if you need to, and then sign his name to make it legally binding in his mind. But I think it was just a joking way of my dad saying, like, listen, I'm not that guy. So if my kid's being a shitbird, let me know, and we're going to get involved, and we're going to do something about it, kind of a thing. But as a kid, it always embarrassed me. But what was smart, I think, that my father did is that I knew that I wasn't going to be able to play the my dad's going to protect me card, or you know what I mean? Like, I knew where I stood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was good to a certain extent.
Yeah, and it shows your dad cares about his son, too.
Right.
And shows the teacher that your dad is aware of what's
going on.
And it's
a weird thing you don't understand until you get older. Yeah. Like, I don't think it really connects. It's just like, oh, man, my dad.
As a parent, you give a lot of trust to teachers. You give a ton of it. There's no other place where I'd send my child, except for a school, really, all day.
With a stranger.
Yeah, with a stranger, with a bunch of kids that I don't know.
Right.
And expect good things to happen, you know, like very positive. So it's like there needs to be a lot of trust there. And if the teacher is not, you know, not worthy of trust, then there's a problem, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, when you become a teacher, I think you're accepting a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
And you should realize that. And if you can't toe that line, then you deserve to be called out on it. You know?
I couldn't agree more. And I feel bad because I've taken up so much of your time talking about your work.
Family.
No, it's not. I think it's interesting for the listeners, but let's do something more fun for you as a dad. We have a little segment where we talk about things that we miss before we had kids. Here's a little intro for it.
We all remember what life was like before we received our little blessings. But sometimes it's nice to look back and remember how things were when we were happy.
Am I allowed to cry during
this? Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Feel free. But the one that came up, some that have come up the last time we did this segment was playing video games, watching movies and stuff. The one that came, I realized recently, and it's a joke that my wife and I have, where I will try to speak to my wife. Adult to adult. She will tell me, like, my poor wife can't come home and tell me about her horrible day at work and get it off her chest because the kids are, mom, constantly.
Oh,
constantly.
God. Yeah, I'm having that too.
And so it's like, and so our joke is, I'll talk to you in 20 years. That's when we can, so just write it all down and then we'll talk. And so it's like, I just miss, it's a funny thing because it also came up with the director was talking about the joy of having children. Like, she goes, these poor people that don't have children, they never know the joy. And I'm sitting there taking my children to the preschool and looking at things like shamrocks that are decorated horribly by cute little kids that don't know how to use glue and colors. And it is cute, but I'm like, I don't know the joy you're speaking of, I don't think. Is it coming later? Because I don't think it's going to be when they're a teenager. That's not what I've heard. So is it just when they're 30 and they shit out kids that I get to have real fun with? Is that really when it happens? And she goes, no, like the moments where you get to cuddle, right? And so she's right there that you do have those moments that are sweet. But I just crave right now talking to my wife, sitting down, having a meal, or being able to watch a show on a weekend, on a Saturday or something like that, getting up in the morning and just being able to watch a TV show that you want to watch and get caught up on Revolution. You know, that's just what I miss.
My wife and I used to watch Alias together. That was fun.
I like that your miss is a show that's been off the air for 8 years.
Probably at least. Oh, man. That was
so
before
true.
Jennifer Garner had kids.
Yeah. She ruined your good time.
It's her fault. She's having the same problem.
She can only do Oscar award winning movies now.
Right,
or
exactly.
Kids with leaves growing out of their feet. That's it. That's all she's got room for.
Awful. we used to run together.
Oh.
That was great. I hated it in the beginning because I was so out of shape and she was in shape. And then gradually she brought me into shape.
But I feel like that
it was really nice. Like in the evening, you know, like the sun would be setting, we'd go on a run together and you'd clear your head and then you could talk to each other. It was a lot easier. Like, you know, I'd be writing all day or something like that and totally stuck inside my head. Then you go on a run together. I don't know. You know, we absolutely cannot do that now.
Yeah.
She's like, we push both of the strollers.
No, you can't.
We try to push both the strollers.
You can't.
It's impossible. The children are yelling at you. They're like, you know, you have to bring. My wife's like, did you bring at least three bananas? You know, it's like, you have to bring diapers and bananas and the amount of shit that you have to, emergency food.
Yeah.
Emergency is just if someone decides to start screaming.
Yep.
You're running with a diaper bag and you're pushing a pink stroller and all you can think about is just when your kid's gonna throw their shoe off the stroller and you have to stop it and pick it up and you're going really slowly. It's awful. I really would love those moments where we could just run together. That was so great.
The fat person version of that is walking. That's what
I'll take walking.
Right.
Yeah,
walking is slightly easier. Maybe, it might be harder because now both kids are kind of mobile, like I would imagine. But when, and I don't know if girls, I'd be curious to see what girls are like, because with boys, you're picking up sticks and you're constantly beating on trees and shooting
at
each other.
Always sticks, always stopping to touch things.
Look at this and
running into the street, not wanting to walk up a hill.
Yep.
Wanting to get picked care of by mommy. No, no, I don't want daddy to carry me. No, I don't want mommy to carry me. Let's walk, please.
Because Natalie goes, my poor wife has such a short-term memory. Let's go on a walk. It's so nice outside. Okay.
Right. Let's get the emergency food.
5 minutes in. No, we don't even have to do that. We have between the dog and then the kids just jumping around and screaming at the top of their lungs. Yeah. And if somebody trips and falls, for fuck's sake.
The police came the other day. We were walking and my daughter didn't want to walk any further.
Uh-huh.
And she just started screaming. She's just like, no, no. And so we did what most, what a good parent would do, was just walk the other way.
Yeah.
And let her scream it out.
Yeah.
It was like, and within 3 minutes, a patrol car comes up.
Wow.
Is everything okay here? We're like, a 3-year-old girl screaming, no, no.
Can you imagine?
Which is my everyday, but for other people, they're like, oh my God, what's happening? This poor little girl.
Right. Here's what I imagine. I imagine a police officer is a more grounded person where, unless he doesn't have kids, that he's like, is everything okay? You're like, yeah, she's being a shit whistle. And he's like, okay, that's all we need to know.
Exactly.
But at the same time, like, does he have to do, like, extra digging to be sure? Like,
I know,
because that is, if you're trying to abandon your kid, also, you're 3 minutes away and you're walking the opposite direction. I'm guessing maybe 20 feet that you've got.
Oh, yeah. There's hardly a, yeah. She's,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, you're 20 feet away. That's hardly abandoning. You know what I mean? Like, it's like in the time that they were dispatched to come, and you've made it 20 feet. That's not like you're trying to ditch the kid.
It was absurd. And then my daughter felt so powerful. She's like, that car came because of me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Like, I could just see the stirrings of, like, power
her
eye. Like, whoa, I can do this. And we said, yeah, and it's your parents who are going to get in trouble for this. Like, that daddy would go to jail if you were. But she's like, really? And she keeps asking questions like, would daddy go to jail if I do this? It's like, oh, Jesus, please. Oh, can we take that back? Can you not be a mastermind of evil?
Such a horrible time to be a parent.
Yeah.
Because my father, was beating me one time, or he gave me a spanking or something. And I said, if you hit me one more time, I'm going to call the police. You can't hit me like that.
Right.
And he hit me twice and handed me the phone. He goes, do you realize that if you call them that you don't get to live here anymore?
Right.
So you tell me what you want to do. You tell me what you want to do. You want to stay here and get your ass beat for being an asshole, or you want to go live someplace else? You have that option. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And then it jerked me out of it. And his other favorite thing that I don't think we could get away with saying is that I would say at Ryan and PJ's house, they have pizza every Thursday. He goes, well, go see if they got an extra bedroom. You can go live there. Oh, it's great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So walking and talking.
Yeah.
And
walking
running.
And talking and running and not being harassed by the police for, I mean, that would just a little thing that I'd like to not. I just imagine being able to get in shape and not being worried that the cops are going to come.
Not being interrogated.
Yeah.
And now back to the real world and your shitty responsibilities. Have fun getting puked on.
It is a blessing. It's good times. Well, let's play. Let's wrap this up. We'll close with this. Play a little a game that the listeners like. I think you're new to it. It's called What the Fuck Did Jack Say?
And now it's time to play What the F*** Did Jack Just Say? Where we try to figure out what Justin's 2-year-old just f***ing said.
So I did this recently and I thought, maybe he's talking better. So maybe this will still, this will mess up this whole game. And I was thankfully surprised when I did the Oscar I did all the Oscar nominees for Best Picture on the last episode.
I still think Penelope Cruz, when she said Best Screenplink, was the best. I kept rewinding. Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay. Jack probably could have done better.
Yeah.
and the poor guy couldn't get it. So everybody, I think, understands their own 2-year-old. But let's see if you can understand mine. And I'll give you a hint. Well, I won't tell you, but they all are within a category.
Okay, cool.
So if you could figure out the category, that might help inform.
I love this.
All right, here we go. Cheetos. Oh, it's in mono for us. Let me see. Oh, it should be in the podcast.
I think stereo would really help. really help me understand what that was.
Cheetos.
I think that was Cheerios.
Nice. You nailed it. Yeah. Very well done. That's good. Let's see. You could be the first one to get them all.
I feel like I'm an expert at this.
All right.
Yeah, Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, that was Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, wow.
I love the extra syllables they throw in there. Yeah. My daughter says, thank you. Thank you. I thank you.
Oh, it's because I tell him, I go, okay, say this. And what he does, like a Rain Man or something, he goes, yeah, Frost. I go, say Frosted Flakes. Yeah, Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, there's a lot of saliva in every.
All right, here comes the next one.
Fruit Loops.
That's adorable.
Fruit Loops. Fruit Loops, nailed it. Wow.
Fruit Loops, yeah. Ooh, that's a tough one.
Here, I'll play it again.
Wait. I want to. Oh. I try to. I'm trying to. What? Okay, can you play that again?
Oh wait, did it play? Let's see.
Maybe it's a cereal that I don't know.
Yeah. Highly unlikely. I'll be honest. Here, I'll play it one more time. Oh wait, it's still playing. That's why.
Captain Crunch?
No. Oh, so close.
Crunch?
Yeah. Something. Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
Can I hear that again?
Yes. Lucky Charms.
That's a tough one. That was good.
And then we got one more.
Spider-Man.
It sounds more like a superhero than a cereal.
Oh, that's Raisin Bran.
Yes. Yeah. Nailed it. Johnny Walker. Wow, the what the fuck did Jack say? Champion. How you could get Raisin Bran.
That was good.
Razor Bran.
Because it sounds like Razor Brand.
Right.
Razor Band. Well done. Wow, let's see. How many is that? That's 1, 2, 3, 4 out of 5. That's one. Impressive.
Thanks for playing. What the
fuck? Oh, man, that was
Jack
awesome.
Just say.
God, I wish.
Oh, you have any sound bites of your kid? Here, I can hit pause and then you can look. You want to do that?
Actually, I might.
All right, good. Now, what's your daughter's name?
This is Anna.
Anna. All right. And she's how old?
She's 1.5.
1.5. All right. Let's see if I can figure out what she's saying here. Okay. Go ahead.
Hey, Bo.
Hey, Bo. So she's talking to some kind of Bo Bridges. She's on the phone, is what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
She says, hey, Bo, you got the thing I need. Bite. That's what it sounds. That's what I'm picking out of that.
That's really good.
Right?
That's really yeah.
I'm trying to think of Bo as a.
I don't think you'll ever get the Bo thing. It Po is the word that she uses for her grandmother.
Oh,
and
I was gonna say
she's on the phone with her. It's not really a phone. It's a remote control. She thinks she's on the phone. She takes remote controls, all sorts of things, and has fake conversations with her grandma.
That's
on
awesome.
It. And so yeah, if you look at the video of it,
yeah. How cute.
She is.
Hey, Po.
Hey, Po.
She's talking
bye.
Bye. Yeah. Oh, bye. She's saying bye, bites.
Right. So she's signing off. She's saying bye.
You got the thing I need is what it sounds like.
I don't know what she's saying. I think she's pretending to have a phone call.
Yeah.
So she might be just saying garbledygook.
Because it sounds very adult like.
Yeah.
Hey, Po, you got the thing I need? Okay, great. Bye. That, like, you know what I mean?
That's, yeah, I didn't know what she was saying, honestly, when she was having the conversation to the remote control, but I ended up taping it.
How did you have her do it again? Is that like a back to one? And
no,
then
she keeps saying bite, and then we'll call someone. She's like a little stockbroker or something, like keeps calling.
She's the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly. She's a little
with
wolf.
Less cursing, is it?
Yes. Well, she could be cursing. I don't know. She'd be like, where's the motherfucking
thing I need?
Candy I need. Bite. Hey, Poe.
You think it means grandma, but Poe is her word for bitch.
Yeah. Hey, bitch.
Where's the thing I need?
Where's my motherfucking money? Bye. That could be what she said.
Oh, that is so funny. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, that was our show. You could send an email to the show to show@thedadpodcast.com. Throw us a like on facebook.com/dadpodcast. Follow the show on Twitter @dadpodcast. Follow me on Twitter @Justin Worsham. Now, here's the thing. Normally, I would plug guest information and stuff like that, but your albums are gone. You were trying to maintain a level.
I'm striking myself from the internet. I can't help myself from coming on this show and doing occasional gigs, but I haven't tweeted in like 7 months.
Okay.
I'm excited. I'm almost on a year without tweeting. It feels like without smoking. And I've been off of Facebook for quite
really?
Some time.
Really? Even Facebook?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So
wow.
I'm pretty proud
of
myself.
So hold on. Are you saying like your personal page even? Or because I know some comedians will have like a fan page.
No, I never had a fan page or a personal, which was a mistake anyway. Yeah. So now I'm just not.
Here's what I do. I do it even worse. I have a fan page and a personal page, but accept a friend request from anybody. Like it doesn't.
Yeah, it's like, oh, whatever.
I'll max out, I guess, at 5,000, then I'll worry about it. But so far, that hasn't been a problem.
Oh, man. I'm so pathetic. The people I contact, whenever my phone rings, my daughter just says, Mommy, because that's the only person who calls me. I'm so sad and pathetic.
Do you want to give out your phone number?
Sure. I'll do that. But, so see, it's not Mommy, it's a stranger who heard me on a podcast. Bye.
Well, if you want to email Johnny and have any questions, maybe about teaching or your kids or something like that, you
Johnny
can send him
at JohnnyWalkerComedy.
Oh, perfect. There you go. You send it. I was going to say you could send it to me and I would forward it on to you.
Or to Justin,
No, do whatever you want to do. But the big thing that you need to do is go to thedadpodcast.com, click on the link to do the $24 a year. If you do that, everybody listening to that does that, it'll change my life. And the other thing I want to plug is I started another podcast with Chris Booker, who is a radio personality that's out here in Los Angeles. He and I do a show that's called Justin is Married, Booker is Single. And he is a guy who's in his 40s and has no children and is dating hot young chicks here in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And I am a guy who is married to his high school sweethearts, as you all know. So if you want to hear this boring guy talk to a guy who has an interesting lifestyle, at least from our end of the spectrum, I would guess, and compare lifestyle and notes, then check that out. It's available on iTunes right now. And again, it is called Justin is Married, Booker is Single. That's about it. You can send an email to jmbs@gmail.com for the show. But it's on iTunes and on the interweb. And I think that's it. So on behalf of my good friend Johnny Walker, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.